Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ACC News, the unique internet broadcast series that brings you together with some of the most amazing and interesting individuals from the world of business, industry, health and wellness, art, entertainment, and many more. From company owners, CEOs, and presidents, to the most inspiring people who create the magic behind the scenes that make their company's products and services so special. Here is your opportunity to live their experience and journeys through the words of the ones that actually made it possible. Live worldwide. This is ACC Global News. Good afternoon to everyone around the world. Welcome back to ACC Global News. I am your host, Matthew Connor. And again, I am very grateful to be with all of you here today. And the current focus of our segments is women empowerment. And our guest today is really one of the best examples of a woman empowering others in need of help or guidance. She is Reiki Master Sarah Belt, and she is the founder of Energy Light Healing. And I assure everyone in our audience today that she will be very fascinated by the information and the abilities that she will share with us today. It is now Thursday, the 7th of July. And I would like to remind our audience that our interview today with Sarah and all of our interviews are permanently archived on our ACC Global Media Blog Talk Radio site. Or you can also go to our website. Please visit us at accglobalmedia.com, and you can really enjoy our shows at any time of the day. Now, our special guest today, Reiki Master Sarah Belt, she's trained for many, many years in this field. And finally, in the year 2007, she became a Reiki master. Also trained in matrix energetics, what Sarah really is a healer, a mentor. And her special abilities during her sessions really allows her to receive messages or even see images from, I say, other worlds. Even from departed loved ones, they reach out to her to give her messages. What Sarah knows and believes is that all healing, it's love energy that comes from God or the universe. To our audience today, I am very proud to present to you Reiki Master, founder of Energy Light Healing, Miss Sarah Belt. How are you doing today, Sarah?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm doing very, very well on this warm day. We are very happy to have you. If you could really explain to our audience, Sarah, a little bit about your background and your upbringing.
Okay. I was born and raised in Wichita, Kansas, and pretty much in a middle-class America. And growing up was pretty typical, other than I had a few things that were a little different, as I would feel like I was being watched or there was somebody else around, only I didn't know what that was. So as a child, I was kind of scared because I was actually feeling some spirits. You know, I never did tell anybody or say anything to anyone, but it was, you know, I was afraid to be alone. I was afraid, especially in the dark. I would turn all the lights on if I was by myself, even as a teenager. I would come through and turn all the lights on, then go back and turn them off because I got in trouble if I had all the lights on in the house. But it was the only way I could feel comfortable because I didn't know what that was. And, you know, it took many years before I finally knew what I was experiencing. I've always heard voices that were guiding me, not telling me about for other people. I also had a a longing. I feel, even I remember in grade school, that feeling I needed to be doing something or go somewhere is, you know, and I had no clue what that was about. Again, I didn't say anything to my parents or anything. I just kind of was like, what am I supposed to do? And I kind of ignored it. And it would come back every once in a while. I'd be somewhere, and I go, I'm not supposed to be here. I need to be somewhere else, you know. But it was like, it was a strange feeling, and it would come and go. And I think it was my nudging to be doing my life purpose, even at a young age, though I was clueless. Like, ah. The kind of what you would call psychic energy has been pretty strong in our family. My mother was. She would know things before it happened, so it had a hard time fooling Mom. She would say, what's wrong? And she'd even call me when I was out on my own, you know. What's going on? Nothing, yes. And she wouldn't let it go unless she told her something. So it was pretty strong. And then I realized I knew things, too, before they would happen. I was like, okay, that's kind of strange. So not having any training or anything like that way, these things happen as I was growing up. I even tested once in high school. I had a test coming up in this intuition. And I thought, I'm going to put it to test. It was a test, a written test. I don't remember what subject. But it didn't have a lot of weight to it. If I flunked it, it would not hurt my grade too bad. So I didn't study for it. I think it was a multiple choice question. It might have been in history or something. And I took the test, and I got a B on it by just going how I felt, what was the right answer.
Really?
And I was like, wow, cool.
That's a wonderful ability.
Yeah, it comes in handy. It wasn't something that I relied on. I always study for tests, but when I got into a bind on a test, then I would go, what do I feel is right? And I would call on. I didn't realize, you know, later I've learned about the angels and everything, that they're always here to help us. We just need to ask for their help. And we get all kinds of guidance and direction. There's all kinds of help, you know, nudging us, but we tend to ignore this stuff. It's just a coincidence, or it's just, you know, something else. And we're actually getting help, even if you don't hear voices. And I didn't tell people I heard voices, but, you know, I thought it took me a long time also to realize that if I listened to the voice, I didn't get in trouble. Things went much better for me. When I ignored the voice and did what I wanted to do, things didn't go so well. It's like, it took me a long time to really get in sync with that.
Yes. Again, I can only imagine. So, what I would like to know, Sarah, dealing with these issues, who was your biggest influence growing up?
I really stumbled around a lot. I had a really low self-esteem, pretty much almost down to zero. I'd had a lot of experiences, and I didn't, even as grade school, the teacher said I couldn't do very well, not to expect much from me, and I believed all that. And I felt I couldn't do good grades because I wasn't smart enough. And a C was all they told my parents to expect from me. So going through high school, that's all I made until I went to business college, because when I was around, there wasn't a lot of opportunities for women. You could be a nurse, a teacher, or pretty much a stay-home mom. And I didn't really want. The stay-home mom sounded good, so get married, have kids, stay home. That sounded good to me because I wasn't interested in teaching or in the medical field. It just didn't attract me. Or a secretary. So I ended up going that route because I had to do something to make money. And it never fit right for me. But I had to come from a long way of being squelched down. To finally start growing, my brother was a big influence to me. When he moved out of here and lived in Boulder, Colorado.
Yeah.
And he would do energy work, and he just stopped in the middle of a session on me and just said, "You need to learn Reiki." This is an adult after my divorce. So it came much later for me. And
really?
I was in my 40s when this later, upper 40s when this happened. And so I said, okay.
Really?
Yes. Yes. Even though I had nudgings and stuff, I also, when I was a child, never really felt like I fit in with any little social gatherings. I mean, I was accepted and liked, but I didn't quite fit in. So I've had this I don't belong feeling a lot. And I thought, why am I not fitting in?
Yeah.
And I think now it has a lot to do with part of my purpose, to help people, and I move around to a lot of different groups. I have a lot of different areas of fields that I like to do, and I find most people have one niche or whatever, and they focus totally on whatever that is.
That's true. I go
to many other areas. So, yeah, I had a mentor of an uncle when I got divorced, because I had totally, like a lot of women do when they get married or whatever, you lose your identity. It's about your husband. It's about your children.
Yes.
I became my husband's wife. I was introduced as, this is my wife. I was just, my children's mom at school. It'd be their name and mom. And I could think, I have a name.
Yes.
So I started when my husband would introduce me, and this is my wife, and I was to put my hand out and say my name. I have a name. Because I thought, I don't, and then when I got divorced, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I liked, what I wanted to do. My uncle said, you have an opportunity. You can do what you want. I said, I don't know what I want. I have no clue. And he told me, he gave me I told that to several people, and they just said, well, just do what you want. But I needed something to give me that first step. And my uncle said, something looks interesting to you, you try it. If you like it, then you keep doing it. If you don't like it, move to something else. And that sounds fairly simple, but I needed that. Give me that first step. What do I do right now? And that's what he did for me, and I tried canoeing. I found I really like canoeing on a river or a lake. It's so peaceful and calming, and I love being
yes.
in nature. But he gave me that little step, and then I did whitewater rafting, too. That was fun until
wow.
I got washed overboard. Yeah, I had a very exciting experience bouncing around in the river through Royal Gorge in Colorado. Yeah. Don't recommend that. And it was on my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That came to me like, this could be my last day, because I couldn't, the water was constantly flashing my face and I couldn't get any air to breathe or very little. And I said, I don't know who I was yelling at. In my mind, I was screaming at either the river or God. I don't know who. I just said, you're not giving me a chance to breathe. I was like, come on now. And nothing changed in that moment.
Quite an experience.
Yeah, and then I thought, drowning's a real possibility. And I go, Matt, no, I don't want to go by drowning. Those are the things that went through my head. But anyway, got through that. Got rescued out of the river. My body was beat up, collarbone knocked out of place, and things like that.
Oh, wow.
The blessing is the water is so cold you can't feel how much you're being beat up. You don't experience
wow.
anything except, the rocks
yes.
are really smooth. I can tell you that. But anyway, go ahead.
Well, you definitely have an amazing story, which is the main reason why we did select you. So it's really amazing that you actually also survived that experience as well. many people aren't really that lucky. So I'm sure it's something that you're very proud to have survived.
Yes, and also I got a little bit of fear of turbulent water, too, which I want to face and get over. So I have said that I would never go whitewater rafting. I would go maybe on a calmer river to start off with. But, you know, and there was a paramedic. Well, my daughter was a paramedic at the time, and we had a paramedic friend that went, and I was an EMT at that time. And so I had some help in the boat. And so they did a quick assessment of me. Yeah, you know, I didn't break anything, but, you know, it was, I told the person, I said, next, if I go again, you have to be in the boat. So I know there's someone there that can pull me out if I get washed over again. The thing is, I noticed that other people that do this stuff, a lot of them have had, like, near-death experiences. They've gone away to get transformation. I realize I'm one of those people that can demonstrate you don't have to have major illness or a near-death experience, or you don't have to go away to make a transformation. I've done it right here in an area for a long time, didn't even know what Reiki was, wasn't open to anything like that. So I've kind of plowed the field here in this area. And I can demonstrate, you know, you don't have to do all those things, and you can make amazing transformation.
What I would like to know, with all of these special abilities that you do have, who is your typical client base?
It's mostly women. Mostly women. I do work with some men, and, of course, they need to be 18 years or older. I mean, I will work with somebody under that as long as their parent or guardian is there. So I have worked on children, too. Children are a little bit challenged because they don't like to lay still very long. But I've worked on my grandkids. And some of them really like it. I have a couple that even when they were little, they come up to me and go, Reiki, Reiki, Reiki. Because I love the feel of the energy. And, of course, my children say, yeah, because it calmed them down. Go for it.
So with this, you founded Energy Light Healing.
Mm-hmm.
What are the services that you do provide?
Of course, I do Reiki and Matrix Energetics. It's all the same healing energy from God or universe or whatever word you use. So it's just a different way that it works through. Either Matrix Energetics, where a lot of that was developed by Dr. Richard Bartlett, and it's based on kind of, they follow quantum physics. So, but to me, going into where creation is totally God, whether you have a scientific approach or not. And it allows things to shift and move. And the Reiki is just very soothing and relaxing energy. And I'm also kind of playing with another little method of healing that I've just started is called reconnection healing. So that's kind of in the works. I'm experimenting. I read this book and it said you can do it from the book. I haven't gone to a seminar or anything, which hopefully things will fall into place that I can do that. But I worked on my dad last night, and this morning he said, he goes, I want another one of those treatments. I just told him, you know, lay there and just tell me what you know, what you experience. That's all I need to know, because I'm in that I don't know what I'm doing thing. I'm doing what they said. Let's see what happens. Kind of an attitude. And he said he felt like stuff draining out of him. Sorry.
Really?
Yeah, he said just felt like something was draining out of his body. Of course, a little bit of background, my mother passed away a year ago, July 2nd. So he's, you know, a lot of depression, a lot of grief and everything.
Yes.
So he's really been struggling. It was hard for me too. But he's really, and they were married 65 years.
Wow. Wow. God bless.
Yeah. He's 88. So he hasn't been too open to all this stuff I do. Allow it a little bit. So he said,
I
said, would, I said, will you please lay on the massage table? And, you know, I've got a room set up here that I work out of. And let's just see what goes on. He goes, okay. So he laid there, and I did everything. I go, I think it's done. And he said he felt like stuff draining. His face was so peaceful looking. All the stress drained out of his face. That's what I noticed. And he felt like everything drained out of his body. He felt some tingling in his legs and some other things. He didn't know what it was. And today, when he got up, he said, I said, how are you feeling? And he says, amazing. He goes, I slept very well last night. I got up at 6, but I was very alert, energized, went downstairs and did a full workout.
Wow.
Felt great. I said, how are you feeling emotionally? He goes, a lot better. So,
wow.
It's kind of cool.
and that's interesting that you're able to really hold that session with your father and have this be effective. If you could really explain to the audience, how do you typically hold your sessions? Or does your approach change depending on the situation?
For the start of it, it's the same. I connect to Source, to God. I do a connection there. And then I connect with the person. So there's this flow of the three of us, basically. And whether I'm doing, you know, mentoring or a healing session, Reiki or Matrix, I do that same thing. But after that, it's different for each person, depending on what they're needing. And I can, you know, get messages. And I can work with people distantly as well as here in person. So I can work over the phone or through Skype and still do the same thing.
Okay, so to our audience out there, because of this, she is capable of really working with anyone from around the world. So everyone tuning in, even if you live overseas, Sarah will definitely be able to help you. What I really want, Sarah, if you could really discuss the tools or let's say the techniques that you really incorporate into your programs.
Okay. Typically on a healing session, I usually start out with the Matrix energetics and have them just sit quietly while I connect. And well, actually a tool, I have a turtle shell rattle. It's got crystals in it. And turtles are very grounding and centering. So I just have them hold that to their heart, and it brings all their energies into them. And while I connect, and then I connect with them, and then I go as I'm guided to do different things of working that modality. And then when that's finished, I usually have them lay down, and I follow with a full body Reiki, which is different, you know, very light touch, hands-on. The energy flows to the clothes, so nobody needs to undress. I just have them take their shoes off or any belt or stuff that might damage the massage table, but it goes through just fine and go as I'm guided. Sometimes I do use some rocks if I'm kind of guided there. Just like it just gets my attention. It's kind of hard to describe, and then I'm kind of visual, so I notice I'm looking at a certain rock. So that's how I know what ones to use. And some people know I'm not guided to do that at all. And like I said, and sometimes I will have a departed loved one show up and I can feel when they enter. So I tell the person there's somebody else here and I get a sensation when it's
really?
Male, female. Yeah. And I get a little bit of information and they'll say, well, it sounds like my grandpa or my grandmother or my mom or something. And they sometimes I don't really see them like you look here, but I see them kind of in a different way, and I can see their posture, like sometimes like they got their hands on their hips and shit. Then one person, yeah, that's my mom. Because her grandmother had shown up and gave a message to her, and then she was asking about her mother, asked her for me to ask her grandmother about her mom, and then boom, her mom was there with her and said, I can speak for myself.
Wow.
And then she goes, that's my mom. So it was cool, and she got healing from that, you know. So That part doesn't show up to me like what Teresa Caputo does. But I do have them. I don't get a lot of that verification. They seem like they want to deliver their message and leave when they don't want to give a whole lot.
I could only imagine that that's quite an experience for the client that you're probably working with, and the feeling that they probably felt when it was over and they were leaving.
I would
feel so much better knowing that I got that information and knowing that my family, even in another world, that they're still here with me.
A lot of times they'll say that they're here.
Yes, what I would like to really ask, Sarah, and many people in the audience are probably thinking about this, what exactly is Reiki?
Reiki is a modality. It's soothing, gentle energy. Dr. Usui, I don't know. He's Japanese. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So he rediscovered this. He had went on a search to find out how Buddhas healed, how healing actually occurred. What do you do? And it had been forgotten. He went to different monks and different religions. He did study Hindu, I guess, a bit, of course, Buddhism. And I think he did touch on Christianity a bit. There's stories out there, but I have this one book called Reiki Fire, and this guy actually went to Japan and tried to research and get the facts. So he couldn't find evidence of some of the stuff that's been passed around in stories. So based on what he does, he started his first clinic in 1921, so he rediscovered this in the early 20s sometime, and he was given the symbols and everything that's used in Reiki and told how to use it. Everything says that he went on the mountaintop and fasted for 21 days. And at the end of the 21 days, he was given this information. And it's a simple laying on the hands. The energy comes through the crown and out through the palms of my hands. They get really hot. The energy just really warms up. And it's just a very light touch at certain positions. It can only be passed on through attunements from a master. So since I am a master, I do teach it, and I can pass it on. So it goes where it's needed. It goes mental, emotional, or physical healing or spiritual healing. You get what you need right now. Someone has come in with a physical ailment, they may want a certain outcome. You're going to get a healing. It may not be exactly what you want, but maybe you really need to have a mental healing or a spiritual healing. I've had someone, I helped another person who did energy. Her client had stage 4 cancer, a young woman, and I participated in a group. We both are doing Reiki on her. I knew at that session that she was not going to be healed. She was going to cross over. I could see the angel there waiting with her. And I told my friend afterwards, I said, no. She goes, oh, I didn't think that. I said, no, I could, she's not going to stay in this world. And we did another one on her, and then my friend said, yeah, you're right. She's not going to stay in this world. But even though they're not going to get, they don't, probably, I don't know, it's between God and the person, what kind of healing they get. They still get something. Even if they're at that point, it helps ease their transition.
Yes.
And helps relieve pain and helps ease their transition to go across. And we never heard from her again, so I assume she crossed over soon after. I just was praying she didn't do it on my table. I don't want to deal with an inquiry here.
the time has actually gone by so quickly. The technical team are waving at me through the glass, letting me know that time is almost up. If you could really share with our audience, where can they go to either sign up with you or really get more information about your program?
I've got a webpage. It's www.energylighthealing.com. And my contact information is on there, phone number, email. so they can contact me either way. I do a free 20-minute consultation. If they're interested but wanting more information, I'll answer the questions and actually walk them through a session at what I do so they know what to expect. So that's, you know, I'll spend the 20 minutes. Sometimes it goes a little over that, but that doesn't matter, to help them feel whether they think this is right for them or not.
Well, we're just about out of time today. I mean, the conversation, it went so well, I definitely lost track. And I'm very honored to have you share some of your story. Hopefully, we can have you back soon to really share some more of your stories as well. And I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience are very intrigued and definitely much looking forward to learning a little bit more about your program. And to the audience again, please visit her at energylighthealing.com. And Sarah, it was an honor having you on today. And to our audience, it was very happy having you all tune into our show. Please go to accglobalmedia.com to get future show dates and information. And Sarah, again, it was an honor having you on today. I wish you have a wonderful day.
Thank you, and thank you for having me on here. I've enjoyed this.
Yes, I've enjoyed it as well. And to our audience out there, you all have a very wonderful day, and I look forward to having you all back with us soon.
Okay.